There is a city, a glorious and singular place, old and yet pristine, ornate and yet streamlined, a metropolis of now and then and never was. Burnley Ellsworth founded it in 1864, using the riches he'd amassed gem mining in Australia. With that in mind, he named his creation after that which had given him wealth. And so Opal City stands, glorious and singular. Welcome to the first episode of the Starman Supper Club. My name is Jared. In this podcast, I will be discussing and reviewing every issue of the 1994 DC comic Starman, written by James Robinson. Each episode will cover one issue of the book, unless it's a crossover, in which case we will double up and do one Starman and one crossover book. The book ran 81 issues with two annuals and various tie-ins and specials. This book is about legacy. It follows the family of Ted Knight, the original Starman. He made his first appearance in Adventure Comics number 61 in 1941 and was created by Garner Fox and Jack Burnley. Ted Knight is a scientist that has no powers, just a red costume with a green fin helmet and cape. His weapon of choice is a gravity rod, which allowed him to fly and fire energy bolts. Ted remained Starman in the DC continuity until the events of Zero Hour in 1994, when he passes on the mantle of Starman to his son David. David made his first appearance in Starman number 26 in 1990, different character. The main character of this book is Ted's younger son, Jack. He made his first appearance in Zero Hour number 1, which is not the first issue of the book, by the way, in 1994. If you listen to the Justice Society of America episode of Punch the Timeline, you'll know that Ted was part of the JSA and was in the role of Starman off and on from 1941 until 1994. The JSA became the superheroes of Earth 2 in the 1960s, which allowed them to exist in their own world and cross over regularly with the Justice League of America. This lasted until 1986, when the team was written out of the continuity, sent to limbo. Following a return from a 5-year limbo, the JSA reformed and had a title that lasted 10 issues. Great book. Once again, highly recommended. Ted made one appearance before leaving for his observatory in New Mexico. When the team returned from limbo, they were still younger than they should be due to certain magics that kept them young in appearance. In Zero Hour number 1, Ted and many of the JSA are restored to their original age, which takes them out of active duty. Ted then passes the mantle of Starman on to his son David, which leads us to our first issue of Starman. If you did your homework, you know we're talking about Starman number 0, written by James Robinson, pencils by Tony Harris, and inks by Wade Von Grobiger. Released August 23rd, 1994. This issue opens with a splash page of Opal City, establishing its history and architectural style, which is how we open the episode. The next page shows David Knight high above the city, reflecting on the day and the fact that he's the one true Starman. David's moment is brief, as he takes flight and is promptly shot in the chest midair, falling to the ground, dead. The issue flashes back to earlier in the day where David, Jack, and Ted are at Ted's observatory. Jack is trying to con David out of some old collectibles, and David tells him he has better things to discuss. One brief insult later, Jack is asked to leave by his father, and David flies away. This is the last moment Jack sees his brother alive. The book briefly shows Jack's world outside of his family life, including his antique store, Knight's Past. And then Jack gets the news about David. 1 hour later, Jack sells some painted ties. Then he haggles on the phone with the dealer in Keystone City over the price of some comics. 2 hours later, on the other side of the city, a bullet hits the chest of David Knight. At that moment, Jack shivers once and wonders why. 3 hours later, the phone rings. The person on the other end of the phone, of course, is Jack's father, Ted. Ted tells Jack that he suspects that this is more than just a random shooting, and that he should go to find the box of journals he left with him. He tells Jack that he has left a cosmic rod and gravity belt in those boxes for Jack to use to protect himself. After ending his call with Jack, Ted leaves to go view David's body. As he is about to get in the car, he reflects on life and feeling old. As he looks up, his observatory explodes. A brick hits him in the head, and a mysterious female is shown. Jack's mind is racing as he deals with the loss of his brother. A person enters the shop and begins asking him questions about products he might carry. Jack notices that he's very hyper and not listening to the answers that he's giving. As he is processing this, the man asks if he sells guns. He then tells Jack that he has a special gun. A gun that killed Starman earlier today. He then starts shooting at Jack with both bullets and fire. The two battle back and forth, with Jack taking a gunshot to the leg in the process. As Jack struggles to make his way to his dad's weapons, he is caught by the mysterious man. The man takes the cosmic belt and takes more shots at Jack. He then throws a grenade and leaves. Jack struggles to find the cosmic rod as the fire burns around him. As he searches, the captions show his mind racing, thinking about both the current situation and all the things around him that are burning. As he flies away, his store explodes. The next page shows the mysterious woman from Ted's house and the man that attacked Jack walking into a room, where a voice asked him if they've completed their mission. The woman, known as Nash, shy and stuttering. The man, known as Kyle. The attack is indeed revealed to be a larger plot against Ted Knight. The man they are speaking to is revealed to be the Mist, the longtime nemesis of Starman, the longtime nemesis of Ted Knight. The issue ends with Jack wounded, mind still racing, doing his best to find his father, because he will know what to do. Until I see my father, he'll know what to do. He'll, after all, with Davy dead, he's Starman, and I'm not. And that ends issue number 0 of Starman. I read this story in its collected form, so the next part of the story was a simple page turn for me. I'm curious to see how people reacted to this issue that we're reading in real time. For me, this was an excellent start to the series. The main heroes and villains are introduced and the city is developed. There are several callbacks in this issue that are not revealed for several issues and some years later. The art is a highlight, with Tony Harris's unique style shining through. I've recommended this book to virtually every person I know that's expressed an interest in comics. This book meant a lot to me when I started reading it, and it became my number one book. The thing I appreciate about the issues is that it's just a small piece of the giant picture that becomes Starman. Many supporting characters are waiting to be introduced, and the battle between the Mist and the Knights is only beginning. This book gets a 9 out of 10 from me. The only thing keeping this from being a 10 is the art, and even though I praised it, Von Grabinger's inks later in the book will rein in Tony Harris's pencils, because sometimes some of the panels look almost abstract, and you can tell that their art is going to gel together well, but it's just not there yet, because it's just starting. That's my only knock on this one. Now, let's get to a preview of the next issue, which is your homework. Starman number 1, written by James Robinson, art by Tony Harris, inks by Wade Von Grabinger. A riot rocks Opal City while an ailing Ted Knight recovers from a recent attack. The actions forces Ted's son Jack to pick up the Starman's cosmic rod and directly oppose the villainy he swore he'd never face. Is this his calling or his doom? Our next episode, we will discuss Starman number 1. Looking forward to it. I hope you're reading, and I hope you continue to listen. This has been the Starman Supper Club. My name is Jared, and we'll see you next time.